WHYY is proudly supported by Penn Medicine. From groundbreaking discoveries to life-saving care, Penn Medicine's innovation is helping to change lives, one moment, one treatment, one patient at a time.
Every Friday at this time, Bill Van Wert joins us to review a new film and to talk about what's coming up this week on television. The film today is The Stuntman. How was it?
Thank you, Terry. I'm really excited about this film. I've been listening to radio and TV and reading the papers to see what other people thought. The consensus seems to be very mixed on it, and maybe I can explain why that is. This is a film that's pretty much the work of Richard Rush, who produced and directed it, and apparently it was 7 years in the making, getting studio backing and so on. I was surprised, as most people who like the film say they were surprised, and I'm not sure why. Surprise, I guess we ought to be able to go to a film and expect this kind of real delight. I want to get into what really pleased me about the film, but first let me just say, on a very basic level, the storyline is about a young Vietnam veteran, played by Steve Railsback, who's being chased by the police. Some critics I've noted have said he's been wanted for murder. That's never made clear in the film. He does admit to having assaulted somebody, but we never really know what he's wanted for. And he stumbles upon a movie being made by a crazy film director played by Peter O'Toole. And it serves both their purposes for him to impersonate one of the stuntmen who drowned. That's not even clear. They never find the body of the man who goes over the bridge. So there are lots of little gaps left out of the story, which allows for lots of guessing games to go on in the plot. It is a film about surprise twists and what's real and what's being filmed, about a love scene on the top of a tower, which then becomes a joke and people pour spotlights on it and it's being filmed and shot. At every end of sequence, you get a little surprise. That in itself, I don't think makes a film very good. That would get tiresome. But this film is really a good film. I'm not going to even try and do all my notes on it. I haven't taken so many notes since I saw The Tin Drum. I took about 40 pages of notes on this film. And what I liked about it a lot is that it teaches about filmmaking, and I think that it's going to be a popular film because the primary visual emphasis is on the stunt people. And I think that fits into the culture with everything from Evel Knievel to That's Incredible and Real People. The sense on TV right now of what stunt can you do that's better? I mean, what unpopular sport are you good at? That kind of thing. So, you know, in a way, it's a look at the special effects people rather than the editors and so on who've had our attention with films like 2001, Star Wars, and so on. These are the people who take the falls. And if for that alone, it's a fascinating look. They've got films on everything flying through the air, on everything flying through the air. Fascinating for most people, but in elementary, if you've taken any film courses in production, look at how telephoto is used, wide-angle lens, lots of bodies that speed up as they go past the camera and so on. So it's dynamic. And at the end of each crash through an awning and through glass in the ceiling and so on, there are other stunt people who applaud politely and say, oh, that was a good job. So, I mean, you're pulled out constantly from wondering whether someone is hurt, whether they've been cut by the glass and so on. And it's neat that way. I think that the film works on that level primarily for most people. It's an action-packed film. On another level, a little more toward an intellectual point of view, it's a double metaphor going on. By that I mean that it's a film about paranoia and a Vietnam War veteran, since he needs to have an escape from the police, and what he walks into is a whole enclosed world of movies, where he begins to believe that, starting from the director down, everyone on this set is trying to kill him. And he says at one point, Eli, who is the Peter O'Toole character, Eli Cross, Eli is making a war film, and he wants to kill all his soldiers, and I'm the only real soldier he's got. There seems to be throughout the plot some sense that this is true, that in fact his imminent destruction is about to happen in every sequence. They do give him, without any training or experience, the most outlandish stunts to do. By the same token, it's also a film about how filmmakers protect their own and how they make illusions as real as reality. These people on the set lose sight of anything that we would call real. The people from the town, in particular the police, interrupt from time to time, but even they aren't trustworthy observers because they're working part-time as extras on the film. So a policeman is sometimes an extra German soldier, and that adds to the paranoia. Will he really shoot me with real bullets for the stuntman? It serves Eli's purpose to have this man impersonate so that he can finish his film. He can't have a murder on his hands. That's enough for the plot. There are enough twists for anyone to see it as a, you know, just a grade A thriller, a kind of action piece. By double metaphor, which I mentioned a minute ago, the filmmaking process is not used as a metaphor for the Vietnam War, nor the reverse. Both exist simultaneously, and you learn a lot about, through the filmmaking scenes, what paranoia is in war, which, if you were shown just the straight film within the film that Peter O'Toole is making, you wouldn't learn. By the same token, you learn a lot about filmmaking coming from someone who's not an actor, who just jumps in with all the naivete and innocence of one who's willing to believe what he sees. Rails back as his name is Cameron, and that's clear. At one point in the film, the last stunt, in fact, the pun on his name is made clear. Someone asks, is the camera on? And he spooks. He drives his car before the cameras are ready. So clearly there's a pun intended there. Cameron is camera on. His first introduction to the movie set is to try and save Barbara Hershey, who plays the leading lady in the film. And she's dressed up as an old woman. And she begins to pull her makeup off. And this is the scene that they showed on Sneak Preview. And if anyone knows anything about the film, it's also in the previews for Coming Attractions. So he immediately is made aware of the illusion-reality split in this whole endeavor. The photography by Mario Tosi is excellent throughout, as is the monotonous but interesting music by Dominic Frontier. What I liked about the film, and I don't mean for this to be a smart person's comment. I mean, it runs throughout the film, and this is why I go back to see it, why I would go back again and again to see it. So it's not my telling people, if you didn't get this, you're dumb. It's what I like to get and what I see in it. Is the sense in the film of there being new perspectives on everything. This film is not afraid to show us every self-conscious bit of camera it has. There are sunspots throughout. The sunspots sometimes go to rainbows around the frame. The flicker of light on a handcuffs flashes out to give us white frame, completely white frame, just as the blades of a helicopter do the same. If that's too esoteric, let me give you another example with content to it. In the cafe where Cameron is apprehended momentarily by the police, the scene begins with a man at an adjoining table being served by the waitress, and she's holding a little dog, and he begins to go for her breast as she's serving, saying, I'll get you sometime, Marge, or something like that. And as you see this happening, his hand actually reaches the breast. Cut. You move then from a close-up to a medium shot, and he's trying the same maneuver, hand going toward that breast, but this time the dog bites at his hand. And what you're getting is this guesswork going on throughout the film. Did it really happen? Didn't it? Now, that's a minor, insignificant example, but I wanted to pick one where nothing really crucial was at stake for the main characters. This doesn't have much to do with the rest of the film. And yet, following that, we move from that scene to the TV over the bar, and it's a TV commercial being played by the Barbara Hershey character, Nina Franklin, in the film. And she's having a dog jump through her legs. She's got her legs in some kind of triangle, and the dog jumps through. We cut to the reaction shot, and that's our first shot of Steve Railsback, our protagonist. And it's like his eyes are lit up, and he doesn't know whether he's really seen what he's just seen, that this dog jumped through her legs for this dog food commercial. What I also like about the film, and this is, I think, where the meat of the film really comes for me, is the sense of Peter O'Toole's performance as the insane director. I don't think he's insane at all. He clearly doesn't fit our picture of a movie director, but then nor does Steve Railsback fit really anybody's picture of a Vietnam War veteran. His speeches about the gooks and about, you know, hey, how it was over there, are too much like his role on TV as Charles Manson. You know, I mean, he's got those sandblasted crazy eyes and, you know, so he's supposed to play a type of someone who's been traumatized by Vietnam, just as Peter O'Toole is playing a type of total god film director. But Peter O'Toole's god director is very much like Lion and Winner. I mean, he's got a lot of sense of humor to it, too. What finally happens in the film for me, and none of the reviews that I've seen are even mentioning this, where it finally begins to make sense for me, is that he wants reality to encroach upon his illusions, and reality in a surrealistic sense. I like The Stunt Man for the same reasons I really like the film Airplane. Not because the jokes were dumb or because of what was happening in the foreground, but because in Airplane, someone threw a chicken in the background in that airplane. No reason for a chicken to even be in the plane. There's a vulture behind the pilot as he says, "I'll get us all to safety." And in the From Here to Eternity spoof in Airplane, the camera moves up to show all those algae and little sea creatures, little shellfish climbing through her hair strands. That's why I liked Airplane, those little last-minute glimpses before the sequence changes where things totally crazy are going on. Peter O'Toole in The Stuntman begins to make a case, slowly but surely, for the same kind of thing going on in film. He complains to his screenwriter, "We need something better in this scene." The scene he's talking about is a nut house scene, by the way. "We need something better, something crazier." And the screenplay writer does not know what's going on. Maybe this is Larry Marcus, who wrote the screenplay for The Stuntman, seeing himself and the problems with writing this film. But Eli, the Peter O'Toole character, explains himself further, and he says, "While they, the audience, are all laughing and crying and jerking off at the violence, we might do something outrageous. There might be the stench of madness behind all the laughing." And that really moved me, that touched me, that he had that perception of how to make, finally, a war film that works. He is characterized as someone who wanted to make an anti-war film and couldn't get the money. And now he's making the film and there's no war. The screenplay writer says there's no Vietnam anymore. It's ancient history. And so clearly he's perceptive enough to see that the same old pretty battles won't do. In one scene, an old peasant is talking to Barbara Hershey, who's playing the old lady in the film, and his bicycle falls over on her in a cemetery, and they're all on the ground. And the assistant director says, "Cut." And Peter O'Toole is enraged. He wants that accident in his film. He wants any accident that could possibly play out in his film. He says for the death scene in the plane, "How would someone feel about to die?" And he asks Cameron, who says, "I'd jump for joy." So Eli decides that he'll have his man do a Charleston number on the wing of a plane, which doesn't seem realistic, but what he knows is that the illusion will carry the scene, let it be surreal, go one more moment. And it's not unfounded wackiness then. How it finally gets into the film itself is that Sam, the screenplay writer, finally decides to bring in this very phallic little piece of sculpture of a woman in a swing swinging into the penis of a bear standing there. And it's a period sculpture. And Eli, the Peter O'Toole figure, hugs him and he says, "Welcome to the same film, Sam." And it was a really moving moment for me that gradually he's getting everyone on his cast to see his way with it. There's one scene I think that will trouble everyone, and that's the scene in the garage between Cameron and Nina, the Barbara Hershey character, where both of them are playing out their total paranoia. We've got to escape, he's going to kill me, and so on. And she asks him, what did you do? Why are they after you? And he begins to explain a tale, believable so far, about coming back from the Vietnam War and finding that his best friend in an ice cream store has been having sex with his wife. And he begins this sad tale, and his eyes get brighter and brighter. And as he gets enraged and starts throwing things, his tail moves from fact to all the ice cream flavors. He begins obsessing with pistachio and red maple and all these other flavors, all the while falling over, and all the paint cans in the garage are dumping paint on him, our equivalent for the ice cream. What's happened there? And I think it's going to be problematic, unless, this is the only way I see it making sense, is that Cameron has finally joined the same film as well. He now is acting. He now is playing out his personal life drama with that extra bicycle falling, or with the jig on the wing of the airplane. And it's that madness, it's that outrageousness that really brings home for me a new, fresh look at the Vietnam War, as well as the juncture between stuntmen who realize that their work is dangerous and artistic and so on, and the director, and usually they're at odds. I mean, the stunt people think all he cares about is story, and the director thinks all they are, you know, flying machines. But, I mean, that's the juncture, the outrageousness. And the relationships in the film, for me, were ultimately very satisfying. There's no real believability to a leading lady from TV and film falling in love immediately with a pretty crazy Vietnam War veteran. You just have to accept that, I guess, as, you know, Hollywood can do that, or the tension of the moment can do that. But the relationship, any relationship having to do with Peter O'Toole, is just marvelous in the film. And I think that what's not being said in the film is that this director is gay. There's an allusion to why he and Nina couldn't make it as lovers. And there's a lot of really genuine hugging and holding between Peter O'Toole and Steve Railsback. I think he really loves the man. And it's a new look at everyone in the movie business. And I strongly encourage it from all those levels. Simply as an action story, if you want to see what it looks like to be on the camera with the point of view of the stuntman, to this perhaps a little esoteric film vocabulary of all the different perspectives on a shot, to this philosophy of doing film from a new vantage point and the Vietnam War from a new vantage point, and that being the outrageousness. Go one step further.
The length of time that a film stays in town usually depends on how many people go out to see it, how crowded the theater is.
Right.
Did you have any idea of the way the audience is reacting to the film? Do you think, based on what you saw, that it will be a popular or an unpopular film?
The biggest response came from the most obvious scenes. So people, by and large, are reacting to that camera mounted on an airplane following Steve Railsback flying through the air or going through the awning and so on. There's some nudity, there's some cursing and so on. As an action-packed film, I think it'll do pretty well.